In our last broadcast, we learned how to get off to a good start in life. We learned that you have to have a relationship with God if you are to get off to a good start. But we also learned that pride can cause you to have a bad finish. How to have a good start and a good finish? Open your Bibles to 2 Chronicles 26, and we'll take a look in the book.
Bread of life, sent down from glory. Many think you were on earth.
Welcome to A Look in the Book. This program is brought to you by the Bible Way Community Baptist Church, 4215 North Greenview Drive in Irving, Texas, where the pastor is Dr. Timothy J. Wilbert Sr. This week, Pastor Wilbert continues his series of messages on See You at the Top. Now get close to your radio and listen as Dr. Timothy J. Wilbert Sr. of Bible Way Community Baptist Church, Irving, takes a look in the book.
His daddy had a good start, but then his daddy got so prideful that he went on the battlefield and he fought a battle that God told him not to even fight, and he ended up getting captured and he became a prisoner of war. So the last 15 years of his life, he ended up being a prisoner. Even though he had a good start, he had a bad finish. Then even when you look at his granddaddy, Joash started out as being a good king. He started out being a good, godly, righteous king. But when you look at his life, the same thing happened to him. He had a good start, but he turned his back on God and ended up having a bad finish. See, this man should have just looked at he should have said, you know, my granddaddy started good but ended bad. My daddy started good but ended bad. But instead of him looking at saying they started good and ending bad, but he said, even though they started good and ended bad, it won't happen to me. Oh, he was not a good student of history. All he had to do was just even go back a little bit further. King Jeroboam, he had stepped out of line and tried to offer up incense, and that was not the proper thing to do. He stepped out of line and tried to offer up some incense, and the Bible says that the prophet of God showed up, and the prophet of God told him that you cannot do that. You are standing now in a place that you have not been authorized to stand in. But he tried to stand there anyway, and he got up so upset with the prophet that he tried to put the censer on the prophet. Yeah. And when he reached to put the censer on the prophet, the Bible said God wasn't his own. Yeah. Well. In other words, he pulled back a nose. Yeah. He should have just even read his Bible. If he would have just read his Bible, he could have looked over in the book of Numbers, Hophniah and Phinehas, to Aaron's sons. They began to offer up some strange fire on the altar. They began to put some there that God didn't ask for them to be there. And the Bible says God struck them dead. See, when a person don't know their history, they are doomed to repeat it. This man didn't have no respect for history. Oh, it may have happened to them, but it won't happen to me. He had no respect for history, but he didn't have no respect for authority. Look, and that's the thing about pride. Pride will make you have no respect for authority. Look what the Bible says, verse number 17. And Amaziah the priest went in after him, and with him 80 priests of the Lord who was valid men. He went in there with 80 men. So notice, 81 men, and these were no 65 men. The Bible says these was a preacher that would fight you. They was valiant warriors. They was valiant men. The Bible says, and they withstood King Uzziah, the king, and said unto him, It pertain not unto thee, Uzziah, to burn incense upon the Lord, to the Lord, but to the priests, the sons of Aaron, who are consecrated to burn incense. Go out of the sanctuary, for thou hast trespassed, neither shall it be for thine honor from the Lord God. Then Uzziah was angry and had a censer in his hand. Mm-hmm. to burn incense. And while he was angry with the priest, the leprosy even rose upon his forehead before the priest in the house of the Lord from beside the incense altar. And Amaziah, the chief priest, and all the priests looked upon him, and behold, he was leprous in his forehead, and they thrust him out from there. Yet he himself hastened also to get out of there, because the Lord had smitten him. And Uzziah the king was a leper until the day of his death. When you read the rest of the story, he spent the rest of his years in a leper quarter, in an isolated house. When you read the rest of his story, he didn't even have an honorable burial. They didn't bury him in the king's graveyard, but they just buried him in the fields of the king. And his son had to finish the race for him, had to take his place. A good start, bad finish. Started out good the first quarter, winning. Winning the second quarter. Winning the third quarter. But ending up losing in the fourth quarter. A good start, but bad finish. Oh, I don't want that to happen to none of us today. How then can we have a good start and a good finish? Oh, I'm glad you asked. Let me give you three things right quick on how we can have a good start and a good finish. If we want to have a good start as well as a good finish, the first thing we must do is keep loving the Lord.
Amen.
If you're going to have a good start and a good finish, keep on loving the Lord.
Yes.
Oh, when King Uzziah first started out, he, at 16 years old, I believe that he loved the Lord.
Yeah.
I believe they saw that he loved the Lord. I believe that's why they wanted to make him king, because they saw that there's something good in this boy. And they knew that there's only one that's really good, and that's the Father. So if you got any good in you, that means that you must got some kind of connection with the Father. But this king, he allowed his love for position. He allowed his love for power. He allowed his love for prestige. He allowed his love for the things of the world to separate him from the love of his God. And that's the problem that too many people are making today. Too many people today, they are allowing the things of this world to separate them from the love of God. Too many people are allowing their cars to separate them. They are allowing their clothes to separate them. They're allowing their job to separate them. They're allowing some man in their life or some woman in their life to separate them. They're allowing some position to separate them. They're allowing some power to separate them, some prestige to separate them. But I don't know about you today, but I just stopped by to tell you that I'm going to be like the Apostle Paul, and I'm not going to let nothing separate me from the love of God. I'm not going to let no car separate me. I'm not going to let no clothes separate me. I'm not going to let no position separate me. I'm not going to let no power separate me. I'm not going to let no prestige separate me. I'm not going to let no stuff that's here today or stuff that's going to come tomorrow. Nothing separate me from the love of God. That's it. And don't you let nothing separate you from the love of God. But in order for that to happen, you got to love the Lord thy God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. You got to love him with everything that you got. You got to keep loving the Lord. But number two, you got to keep looking to the Lord. That's what you got to do. You got to keep looking to the Lord. The Bible says here in verse number 5, and he sought God in the days of Zechariah. The Bible says, who had understanding and visions of God. And as long as he, here it is, sought the Lord, God made him to prosper. As long as he just kept seeking the Lord. He wasn't better than everybody else, but he just kept seeking the Lord. It wasn't that he was so good, holy, and righteous. He just kept on going down on his knees, because the more you go down, then God can pick you up. Oh, he can pick you up. But you got to go down. Oh, this man here, there came a day, there came a point, there came a time in his life where he quit going down on his knees. He said, I don't have to pray like I used to pray. I don't have to read my Bible like I used to read my Bible. I don't have to go to church like I used to go to church. As a matter of fact, I already heard the whole Bible. Matter of fact, I can be the preacher now. Give me that censer. I can be the preacher.
Yeah.
I know enough.
Yeah. Well, yeah.
There comes a point that he thought that he didn't even need God anymore. Yeah. Listen, I don't care who you are. You need God.
Yeah.
I don't care how big a position you got. You need God.
Yeah.
I don't care what folks are saying about you, how great you may be in other folks' eyesight. You need God.
Yeah.
I don't care what this world may say about you.
Right.
You need God.
Yeah.
Oh, the songwriter got it right when he says, I need thee.
Yeah.
Oh, I need thee.
Yeah.
I need thee every hour.
Yeah.
See, there's not a moment in the day that we don't need God. See, you need God, whether you know it or not. You need the Lord. You need him. You need him. You need him because Jesus is the source of our strength. See, that's why the Bible tells us over in the book of Hebrews, we have such a great cloud of witnesses watching us. And that's why we need to lay aside every weight and every sin that does so easily beset us. And let us run this race with patience, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. What are we talking about when he says the author and the finisher of our faith? He's the one that got us started in the race. And we got to keep looking to him if we want to finish well in the race. So we got to keep looking to the author and the finisher of our faith. You know, a lot of people think that when they get a little money in the pocket, drive a nice car, stay in a nice house, they start thinking that they done made it. Yeah, they think they made it now. Some folks even tell you you done made it. But I don't care what you have. You ain't made it yet. I don't care how much money you got. You ain't made it yet. I don't care what kind of car you drive. You ain't made it yet.
Yeah.
I don't care what kind of clothes you wearing. You ain't made it yet. You need to be like Paul. Paul says, I'm forgetting about the things that are behind. I'm reaching for the things that are ahead. I'm pressing towards the mark of the upward call of God. That's in Christ Jesus. Why are you pressing hard, Paul? Because Paul would tell you first, I ain't made it yet. We ain't made it yet, so we got to keep looking. We got to keep looking to the Lord. But let me rush on. The third thing, we got to keep lifting up the Lord.
Amen.
I say we got to keep on lifting up. We got to keep lifting him up. See, the Bible lets us know that this man, he started lifting himself up, didn't he? The Bible says in verse number 16, but when he was strong, his heart was lifted up. See, he started lifting it. His suffering. At first the people lifting him up, but now he's finna lift up his heart. And see, it didn't start on the outside. It started on the inside. How did that happen to him? I just believe he started reading his own prayers. Yeah, I think he started reading the headlines. What the headlines were saying about Uzziah. Uzziah done captured Gath, the home of Goliath. Uzziah done captured another Philistine city. Five cities in a row that King Uzziah done captured. Now, Uzziah is moving and capturing the Amorite cities. He's moving and capturing the cities to the south. He's moving and capturing the cities to the north. He's moving, he's capturing the cities to the east and the west. He's capturing things all over. I think he started reading this prayer. You know, when you start reading your own prayer and start listening to what folks say about you, it has a way. Before you know it, you're just a little bit higher than you used to be. You're just a little taller in your own eyesight than you used to be. Even though you may be 5'2 and 1/2 inch, you feel like you're 10 feet tall now. He started exalting himself. Do you know what to do with your press? You know, I told you once before that you need to treat your press. You need to treat it like some perfume. Mm-hmm. You need to smell it, but don't you swallow. Just get you a good whimp. Get you a good whimp, and that's enough. Bag off, that's enough. Don't you start hauling it down and drinking. Let me tell you something. This is, let me tell you a secret to me staying humble. One of the things I do whenever I read something about me in a paper or some kind of clip or what I do, I'll cut it out. And that's what you do. You go ahead and cut it out the paper.
Right.
Then you go and show everybody. Show everybody. Go around. I mean, go over to mama's house, you know. Make mama a copy and show mama. Show daddy. Show sister. Show brother. Find even Bebe and let Bebe know about it. And Boo Boo and BB. I mean, show them all the press. Then after you done got a good look at it, you know what you need to do with it? Go ahead and take it, put it in your scrapbook, and then file it away. Don't you make the mistake that a lot of worldly people do. Whenever they get something, the first thing they do, they get a frame, tack it on the wall. Somebody give them a certificate, they put it in a frame and tack it on the wall, and they tack all of their certificates, all their degrees, they all their clippings, they put it all on the wall. So whenever they come to work each day, they start saying, see what I did? See what I did? Oh man, look at me. See what I did? Oh man, boy, you bad with your bad self. See what I did? See, you have a way. And even though you may not come in your office and you may not even say it, it's in the heart. You start getting lifted up in your heart. No, take it. Take it and file it. But you say, but Pastor, didn't I do that? Then I get that degree? Then I get that certificate? Then I earn that? Listen, it hadn't been for the grace of God. You better start lifting up Jesus. Because he was the one that woke you up this morning. He was the one that clothed you in your right mind. It was him that gave you the ability, your health and strength. And if you've got anything, you've got it all because of our grace. Oh, God. See, none of us really need to be lifted up. You don't need to go around lifting up your pastor. And you don't need to go around lifting up Brother Winston. You don't need to be lifting up the choir. You don't need to be lifting us up. You know why? Because none of us got no heaven. None of us got no hell to put anybody in. None of us is the Savior. None of us is the Deliverer. None of us is a healer. But I do know somebody. I do know somebody. I know somebody who's a Savior. I know somebody who's a Deliverer. I know somebody who's mighty. I know somebody who can help you in your time of need. I know somebody who's a doctor that ain't never lost a patient. A lawyer that ain't never lost a case. I know somebody who's a heart fixer, a mind regulator. I know somebody. And he said, if we just lift him up, he said, if we just lift him up, he said, I'll grow all men. Under me. So what I need to do is lift up Jesus. And if I lift Jesus up, he'll draw that old dope addict. Or if I lift up Jesus, he'll draw that prostitute. If I lift up Jesus, he'll draw that wino. If I lift up Jesus, he'll draw that liar. If I lift up Jesus, he'll draw that cheater. If I lift up Jesus, he'll draw that fornicator. He'll draw that backslider. He'll have lost all men under him. White man, black man, Jewish man, Gentile man, red man. He has lost all under him. We just need to lift up Jesus.
That's what we need to do. We just need to lift up Jesus. I believe if we lift up Jesus, we'll have a good start and we'll have a good thing. As I come to the close, I want to close out today with that well-familiar story, fable of the rabbit and the turtle. Most of you know that story, but can I tell it to you in the Tim Wilbert version? You've heard the story. One day, the little turtle was crawling along and the little rabbit ran by him and kind of blew some dust on him. He said, hey, you better watch it. He said, I know you've been running up and down the street thinking that you're better than everybody, but I bet I can beat you. He said, oh, what you talking about? You talking about you can beat me? I'm a rabbit. You a turtle. He said, well, raise me, Dean. He said, man, I don't want to raise you. Everybody already know that a rabbit can beat a turtle any day. He said, well, raise me then. He said, no, I don't want to raise you because I already know I can beat you. He said, well, raise me then. And the rabbit said, I can beat you laying on my side. He said, well, raise me then. He said, I can beat you laying on my back. He said, well, raise me then. He said, I can beat you crawling, turtle. He said, well, raise me then. He said, all right, I'll race. He said, what you want to race? He said, let's go around that curve and on top of the hill, you see a tree. We're going to race that tree. He said, all right, I'll race. And since you want to get beat, let me go and beat you right quick. They said, on Mars, set, ready, go. Rabbit took off. Rabbit ran halfway. Then he saw some of his rabbit buddies playing some baseball. So he went on out there in the field. Played some baseball with him. After he had got tired, he went over there to the carrot patch and began to start eating some carrots. And made himself real full. He said, well, I know it's going to take that turtle all day long to get up that hill. Let me just go on and take that nap. And he went on and took him a nap. Took him a long, good nap. And when he woke up, he saw that little turtle just about finna cross that finishing line. The rabbit said, oh, feet, you got to come on and do your stuff now. And so rabbit jumped up and the rabbit ran, but right before the rabbit got to the finishing line, the turtle scratched his neck and he saw the rabbit and he said, beat you. Rabbit got upset. The rabbit started hopping all around and said, it ain't fair, it ain't fair, it ain't fair, it ain't fair. He said, I don't see how in the world you beat me. He said, you really didn't beat me. You know you didn't beat me. He said, yes, I did. I did beat you. He said, no, you didn't. You know you didn't beat me. He said, yes, I did. I did beat you. I beat you fair and square. He said, no, you didn't. He said, yes, I did. Let me tell you how I beat you. See, I knew I was going to beat you. He said, because I knew that there was going to come a point in the race that you start playing. And I just kept on pressing. That's how you win.
Bread of life sent down from glory. Many think you were on earth a holy king, a carpenter, but you are the living word.
If you would like a copy of the message that you've just heard in its entirety, call the church office now at 972-257-3766. That's 972-257-3766. Or write to Bible Way Community Baptist Church, 4215 North Greenview Drive in Irving, Texas, 75062. You're also invited to worship with us this Sunday morning at 11 a.m. at Bible Way Community Baptist Church in Irving. And tune in tomorrow as we take a look in the book.